Please open with me in the Bible to Luke chapter 11. We'll be reading Luke chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, and that will be our text for this morning. As we think about the question, are you a spiritually healthy person? So let us give attention now to the reading of God's word. Let us hear it and receive it by faith. Beginning in Luke chapter 11, verse 33. No one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand, that those who come in may see the light. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. If then your whole body is full of light, having no dark part, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Our God, we know that you dwell in light unapproachable, and in your light we see light. We ask that you would open our eyes to see more glorious things from your word, that we would see the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of your gospel, that we would find our supreme joy in knowing the good news and rejoicing in your love for us, sinners though we are. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So every week on Sunday morning, I get up before everyone else. This is not a normal pattern of mine, but on Sunday mornings I get up before everyone else, and I'm out the door and I'm coming to the church. And when I do, I refrain from turning the lights on in the bedroom. Now, I do this out of kindness. It's early. It would be quite shocking for my wife to have the lights just suddenly come on. But it makes the journey across the bedroom more difficult and sometimes perilous. Sometimes I feel like my feet have these guided laser detection systems that seek out every little thing in the room and hit it, even though I know where these things are. And so I bump into everything. Now, I could avoid this by turning on the light, but again, that wouldn't be very kind to Megan. But if I did turn on the light, I could see where I was going, right? That's one of the main things that light helps us to do. If you've ever tried to walk in complete darkness, it's very difficult. Your hands, you're moving slowly, your hands are out in front of you, you don't know where you're going. But you flip on the light and all of a sudden you can see everything. Light helps us to see where we're going. This is true in the natural world, as in the example I have just given. It's true as Jesus brings out here in verse 33. He says, no one, when he has lit a lamp, puts it in a secret place or under a basket, but on a lampstand. Why? So that those who come in can see. That's common sense. You don't say, hey, it's dark out, let's turn the light on, but let's hide it. The light is not doing what it is intended to do. And just as that is true with regard to natural circumstances, so it is true with spiritual circumstances. We see that Jesus applies this to the lamp of the body being the eye, and the eye receiving light, which is good light, or light which is actually darkness. And so there's a spiritual component here. There's a spiritual light, a true spiritual light, and there's a false spiritual light. And a true spiritual light leads to a clear vision of who God is, of who Christ is, of the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and of his word. But the false light, which may appear as light but is actually masquerading as darkness, leads away from God. Leads to destruction. Remember that Satan himself seeks to appear as an angel of light. an angel of light. But Jesus is not simply concerned, and nor am I, with explaining the difference between light and darkness as it relates to our spiritual health. But Jesus challenges those who were hearing him and challenges us to ask ourselves this question: what type of light is within me? What type of light is within you? That's the challenge. Is it the light of truth that leads to God, toward goodness, to eternal life? Or is it the light that is really darkness, which leads away from God, toward evil, and to eternal death? That's the question. The context here is one, as we know, as we have gone through Luke 11 in the past weeks, that Jesus has just cast a demon out from a man who was mute. The scribes and the Pharisees, they witnessed this miracle. We might say they saw the light, at least with their eyes. They witnessed the light. They witnessed Christ. They witnessed the light of this miracle. And yet, what do? We're told that they start to accuse Jesus of doing this through the power of Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. In other words, they are accusing Jesus, the one who is the light of the world, of using the power of Satan, the ruler of the kingdom of darkness, to do what he is doing. You can't get much farther from an example of someone who, in the presence of light, is full of darkness than the Pharisees and the scribes were at this time. And that shows us it's not simply enough to have the light. Jesus was in their presence. But Jesus brings to the forefront here is how you respond to that light. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness, as it was with the scribes and the Pharisees. In other words, great care must be taken to respond to the light in an appropriate way. And we'll see this morning that how a person responds determines their spiritual health. A spiritually healthy person receives and reflects the light of the gospel. A spiritually healthy person receives and reflects the light of the gospel. But we'll also see the contrast to that. A spiritually unhealthy person rejects the light of the gospel and has nothing in them to reflect because it is darkness. And so how is it then that a spiritually healthy person receives the light of the gospel? Well, first we must understand the light of the gospel has gone out. Jesus begins with this illustration I read earlier about a lamp. Now, in this day, the lamp he's talking about is one that would have been put in probably a single room home. And there would have been a place on the wall known as the lampstand. It's not like a candlestick, but it would have been a stone that was on the wall that protruded, and you would have set the lamp on that place. And the language here translated in the New King James Version as secret place is a word in the Greek that can mean cellar. And so what Jesus is saying here is that if you light a lamp, if you're having guests over into your home and it's night and you want them to see, you're going to light a lamp, you're going to put it on that shelf in the main room, you're not going to take it and put it in a basement. That would be foolishness. He also says, well, perhaps you think, well, I don't have a basement. I don't have a secret place. Well, fine, you wouldn't put it under a basket or under a bushel, under a basket that was used to contain and measure grain. You wouldn't take that earthenware and put it over the light because it would defeat the purpose. No one lights a lamp and hides it. In the same way, God's light that comes into the world is not hidden. Think about it. Jesus, the light of the world, is standing here before the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus did not come and preach in hidden places. He preached out in the open. Because God wanted to make that light visible to the world. That was his intention. He sent the light into the world so that we would be able to see it and respond to it. And the purpose of light, just as the purpose of a lamp, is to give us visibility Again, if I would have turned the lights on in the morning, I would have had great visibility in the room. And so somebody lighting a lamp would have given visibility to the house. We are to see where we are going. And as we apply that to our spiritual lives, I want you to be reminded of this. This is from Proverbs 4, 18 and 19. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. What a contrast between light and darkness. Those who have the light shining ever brighter, they see where they're going. That is their path. But those who do not have the light, they do not know what makes them stumble. And so the gospel light has come shining brightly into the world. This light was prophesied in the Old Testament over and over and over again, but now the light has come. The Lord Jesus Christ is here. He has arrived on the scene, and he stands before them. And think about this. Think about the way, even in the New Testament, even in Luke and John, even in the Gospels, the way in which the Lord Jesus Christ was proclaimed as the light of the world. One of you turn here, but I'm going to read a few passages. Luke chapter 1, verses 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? To give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death. To guide our feet into the way of peace. Luke 2, 32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. John in John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. In John 8, 12, Jesus himself spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus preached this openly and clearly. He said, here I am. I'm not hiding the light. I'm not hiding the truth. This is the truth of God. This is the way of salvation. And so the question is not, has gospel light come in and through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ? The question is, how is your spiritual eyesight? The light has come. It's shining all around us. It's being proclaimed this morning. How's your spiritual eyesight? Jesus says there are two types of spiritual eyesight. There are people with good spiritual eyesight and bad spiritual eyesight. He said in verse 34, the lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. Now, this makes sense, doesn't it? This makes sense as in a natural context. If our eyes are bad, if we have an astigmatism or we have some other condition, we can't see clearly. But when our eyes are healthy, then we can see clearly. And Jesus is not simply speaking of the health of our physical eyes, but he's speaking, more importantly, of the health of our spiritual eyes. Do we see this light? People with good spiritual eyesight, they receive the truth of God. They receive the truth of God as he has revealed it. And we have it here, don't we? People with good spiritual eyesight, healthy spiritual eyesight, they receive the word of God. Particularly the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But people with bad spiritual eyesight, they reject the truth. But I want to talk with you and explore with you for a moment those who have good spiritual eyesight and how they are filled with light. That's what Jesus says here. He says that when your eye is good, your whole body is full of light. And again, he brings this out in verse 36. If your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light, as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. In other words, you will see. The more spiritual truth you receive, the more you will see. You will see sin clearly. You will know yourself. You will grow in an awareness of your sin. You'll see Christ clearly. You'll understand when he says, I am the light of the world, how precious that light is. You will see him in his beauty. And in his glory, you will desire to be with him. You will see salvation clearly. clearly, the love of Christ for sinners. Think about that for a moment. The love of Christ for sinners like you and me. Why? Why did Jesus love you? Why did Jesus love me? I have no reason other than he chose to. He chose to love. And you'll start to see that clearly. And the word here in the Greek, translated good, is a word that can mean single. In other words, you will have a singular eyesight as you receive more and more spiritual truth. As the light grows in you, you will focus. With a laser-like focus, you will seek first the kingdom of God. You will be the one that Psalm 27:4 describes, who proclaims, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold, to see the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire at his temple." Now, we see through a glass dimly right now, brothers and sisters. But oh, I'm longing for the day when we're going to see far more. Don't you long for that? Don't you long to see Christ, be in his presence? Yes. And then, of course, we will see where to walk. What is the purpose of light but to show us the path? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, the psalmist says. And this light, as it comes in, notice, it doesn't simply affect one part of the person, but all. If your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. This affects the whole person. Mind, will, emotions, actions. It makes us able to discern between good and evil, between right and wrong. It actually gives us the great gift of that peace that surpasses understanding. And even in the difficult circumstances which we face, it's where we find that joy unspeakable and full of glory. And so I want to encourage you to make use of the light. You have the light. Jesus Christ has come. The gospel has been proclaimed. We are sinners. We cannot save ourselves. There is only one way to God, and it is through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is by trusting in him alone and upon his finished work. That's the good news. That's what you're called to receive. Not to take it in would be, Jesus says, as foolish as lighting a lamp and putting it in the basement, or lighting a lamp and putting it under a basket. One commentator says this: the gospel will come into those souls whose doors and windows are thrown open to receive it, and where it comes, it will bring light with it. So throw open the doors, throw open the window, and receive the light. Because there's a danger, Jesus says. There are also those, he says, whose eyes are bad. And when your eye is bad, in verse 34, your body also is full of darkness. What does that look like? Well, these people see nothing. They're blind. They ignore the truth. Or maybe they see double. They're double-minded. They have one foot in the things of God and another in the world. Or they keep their eyes fixed upon the things of the earth and they refuse to see heaven. But Jesus says clearly, take heed, verse 35, that the light which is in you is not darkness. In other words, there's a light that you may think is light. There is a truth that you may think is truth, but it is false. It is a lie. It is deception. To not take in God's light, and there's only one source of light. It only comes from God. It only comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It only comes from his word. To take in light from anywhere else is to risk living in darkness. John 3:19-21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. And when we think about this darkness, there are really two types of darkness, or two reasons for darkness. We might say the first is ignorance, And the second is stubborn unbelief. Well, your ignorance has been taken away this morning. You've heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sinners who cannot save ourselves, but the Lord Jesus Christ has come, the light of the world, to save all who will call upon him. Trust on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Ignorance is gone. So the only choice then, if you refuse the message of the gospel, is stubborn unbelief. And Jesus says, take heed. Take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness. Because a spiritually healthy person will receive the light of the gospel. They will not reject it. But also, as we look at verse 36, a spiritually healthy person will reflect the light of the gospel. Jesus says, if then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light. He's repeating this, he's emphasizing this, and he says it will be as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. If you are receiving, and the more light you receive of the gospel and of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more light you will reflect. In fact, believers cannot help but reflect the light. We are light reflectors because we've received the light. Notice, as we grow in the light, there is this reality that our whole body will become full of light, having no part dark. Look at the completeness that Jesus brings out here. That's what we should strive for. Yes, are there dark places in our heart that need the light of the gospel to expose them? Certainly. But we should come to God and say, God, I want every nook and cranny of my heart to receive the light so that I may be, as you describe those here, one whose whole body is full of light, having no part dark. Complete. How do we increase in this light? Well, we increase in this light by increasing in the knowledge of the truth of God's word, our application of the gospel to our lives, our growth in fellowship with the one who is the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do we reflect in this light? Well, the spiritually healthy person cannot help but reflect the light, and the spiritually healthy person will reflect the light by reflecting Christ. Like Christ, we will more and more love God. It will be evident in our lives. We will be growing in our love for God. And like Christ, we will love people, even people who sin against us. Again, going back to the love of Christ for sinners. Wow. The love of Christ for his disciples who couldn't stay awake, who departed and fled from him. And yet he loved them to the end. He loved them to the end when he breathed his last in their place. That's the love of Christ. And that love will grow in us. Light has come into the world, hasn't it? There's no doubt that light has come into the world. The light has come into the world. Jesus, who is the dayspring from on high, has visited us. He has visited us in order to give light to those who sit in darkness. And such were some of you, transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. He has come to guide our feet into the way of peace. But there are so many who love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. May that not be so with any of us. May we not love the darkness. May we not bring in anything but the truth of the Word of God, the message of the gospel. And so that's the question again that Jesus brings up here. He gives us this illustration of light and darkness, but he also calls us to examine ourselves and ask the question, what kind of light is in us? Is it the truth of the gospel? Or is it darkness masquerading as light? Because the truth is this, if you want to be spiritually healthy, you must receive the light of Christ in the gospel. Do not reject this simple truth. And it's simple, isn't it? probably the third time I've repeated it, but it bears repeating. You and I are sinners. We are in desperate need of grace. But God in Christ has provided all the grace we need. Receive that. Live in that light. Be filled with that light and reflect that light into the world as a beacon of hope. One commentator said that the person filled with light is like a lighthouse in the midst of a dark world. What a picture. I want each of you to go out from here as a lighthouse in the midst of a dark world. And he goes on to say, this person reflects light on hundreds whom he knows nothing of. Isn't that the truth? We don't know. We go out as a light into the world. We have no idea who's seeing that light. But we trust God with it. And so that's my prayer for myself. It's my prayer for you. That we will all be spiritually healthy people. That we will not only receive the truth of the gospel of Christ, but that we will be so filled with the light of Christ that it will spill out over us. It will spill out into the world for God's glory and for the good of others. May God do this. Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we desperately desire to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognize that there is a great temptation in the world to listen to the many voices that are out there, and that you have commanded us to take heed that the light which is in us is not darkness. Thank you for giving us the light of the gospel. Thank you for providing us salvation fully and freely in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now help us to, every moment of every day, grow in our understanding, grow in our appreciation of this great light, that we may be comforted in times of difficulty and that we may be a comfort to others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.